You take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans and chapter 8. We read the opening four verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, once again we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. Scriptures that have been given to tell us about the grace that you have bestowed upon your people in Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, we pray that we may see something more of the wonders of that grace again tonight. That you would open up your word to us, and by your Spirit be our teacher and instructor. Lord, may we be led to praise you and to stand in awe and wonder at all that you have provided for us by way of salvation in Jesus Christ. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. One of the Beatles, Paul McCartney, was and is a songwriter as well as a performer. And he wrote a song about freedom once. I can't say I've ever heard it. I don't recognise the words, but this is what he wrote. "This is my right, a right given by God." And he spelt that with a small g, by the way. "To live a free life, to live in freedom." And he went on, "I will fight for the right to live in freedom." People want freedom. People are looking for freedom. The search goes on constantly, every generation, because freedom is very elusive. Many confuse it with simply throwing off restraints. Throwing off the restraints the parents put on you, schools put on you, society like police and the law. Cast off those things, we will be free. Yet, anyone with any common sense knows that when you cast off restraint, you open up a whole avenue of destruction, because you open yourself up to your own sinful lusts and desires. The freedom that Jesus Christ gives us in the gospel is not elusive. It is real. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." A Christian is one who has been made free. That is the first thing that I want to say this evening, to describe the Christian, a person who has been made free. As we begin to look at this subject, I want to open up to you the riches of God's grace in salvation. But we have been made free. It's not something Paul did. This is something that happened to him. Someone else, something else made him free. And in the context, he says, "I have been made free from all the claims of sin and death. It is a fait accompli. It is something which is an affirmation. He says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is that complete absence of condemnation. And in the original language, it is emphatic. The negative begins, no condemnation. What did Paul mean when he said no condemnation? Notice his link word in verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. He harks back to the previous chapters. And his emphasis is twofold. When he says no condemnation, he means no condemnation in the sense that we are freed from the guilt of our sin. I have been justified, he says, by faith in Jesus Christ. That is the great message of chapters 3, 4 and 5. The righteousness of Christ has been put to my account. I am freed from the guilt of my sin. But he also says, in the context here, no condemnation also means I am freed from the power of my sin. I am no longer under the old slave master, dictating to me what I should do and say. I don't walk, says the Apostle Paul, according to the flesh. That is, according to my old sinful nature, the old man without Christ. There was a day when I was driven by that old nature. There was a day, verse 2, when I was driven by the law of sin and death. But now I've been made free. Now I'm no longer under condemnation. But when I was under the law of sin and death, I didn't realize it at the time. And that's true of all of us. When we're not converted, we don't realize the power of sin. We're blinded. We don't see it. We don't understand it. Perhaps we thought we had freedom like the prodigal son did in the parable. But then what did he do? He found himself a slave to his own lusts and desires. And he ended up eating pig's quill. The life that you then lived without Christ, when you were under the law of sin and death, you were ruled by sin. It regulated your life. It fueled your decisions, your choices, your desires. It motivated you. That's what Paul means when he uses the word law here in this context. It's what drove you, what motivated you, what regulated your life. You indulged your own sinful thoughts and desires. You tried to live without God. You wanted to be like Adam and Eve, free from his authority, free to choose what you wanted to choose, because it was a lie. And sin is always lying and deceiving. Paul says, no, that is no longer the case. That was the case. Now I have been made free. Every Christian has been made free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer living as condemned men and women. Before God, he says, I am a free man. I am justified by faith. And I have been set free also from the power of sin. It's not what I deserve. It's not something I earned. It was not something I was even looking for. It comes as a gift of God. It's the result of God's working. And the gospel of divine grace in Jesus Christ. We who are Christians have been set free. We have been made free. Now, does that mean then that if we still sin, we're not Christians? No, that would not be possible. Paul did not say, when he said, there is now for no condemnation, he did not say, that means I am without sinless. There are those who have taught a sinless perfection. That is not what the apostle is talking about here at all. There is no sinless perfection while we are in this life. The only sinlessness we will ever know will be in heaven in glory. Paul goes on in this chapter in verse 13. The same person of whom he says, "No, there is now therefore no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus." He says, "But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." He's saying you've got to deal with sin, with indwelling sin. You've got to put it to death. It is still there. It remains. But as you've heard me say many times before, there is a world of difference between sin that reigns over us, the dominion of sin, when we were under the law of sin and death, and sin that remains in us. Yet we are in Christ Jesus. So it's not sinlessness, but it is the rule, the reign of sin that has been broken. And in that respect, Paul can say, "I have been set free." Every Christian has been set free. A Christian is a free man, a free woman, no longer under condemnation, set free from the guilt and from the power of sin. That's the first thing to establish there from verse 2. But how did this happen? We've already got a clue in verse 1. He talks about those who are in Christ Jesus. And now, in the remaining verses of our text, he spells that out and makes it very explicit. So secondly, we go on to see, how are we made free? It is the Holy Spirit who makes the Christian free. Put it another way, it is the Holy Spirit who delivers us from the power of sin. Now, last week, Pastor Jeremy preached a sermon from Romans chapter 6 about having reckoned yourselves dead unto sin but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going a little bit further than that. We're now saying, how has this actually come about? Paul is thinking here in these verses specifically about freedom from the dominating, ruling power of sin. He says positively, verse 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you are accounted righteous. You've been set free from the guilt of sin. You are accounted righteous in God's eyes. But Christ does not simply set us free from the guilt of sin and then leave us to wallow in sin in our own lives. Sin still reigning over us, as if sin was still king over our lives. That would be a contradiction. How could we be justified on the one hand and live then constantly in sin as if it made no difference? So when God comes with his saving grace, he delivers from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. And that is the main thrust of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He has set us free, the Holy Spirit, who makes the Christian free, setting us free from the power of sin. So when a person becomes a Christian, whether you are able to put this into words or not, whether you recognize it, realize it or not, you have to say, "Well, I know that I'm not the person that I was. What's happened to me?" Well, here is what has happened to you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. That's the Bible's explanation of your experience. When a person becomes a Christian, there is a new law at work. That is, there's a new inward principle. There's nothing else new and different that is fueling your life and motivating you, fueling your decisions and your choices and your desires. You're under new management. You have a new ruler. You have a new king. It's no longer sin. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of this new life. And that is basic to the Christian gospel. There is no freedom anywhere in this world apart from the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives. We are fallen creatures. We are in a state, a condition of sin. Adam brought sin and death into this world. Romans chapter 5 tells us that plainly. As we heard last week, by nature we are dead in sin. Dead to God. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it, apart from being born from above, born of the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Spirit in order to see and then to enter into the kingdom of God. And Paul is definitely speaking here in verse 2 in this phrase, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He is speaking here about the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is a little bit of an aside, but Romans chapter 8 is the most important chapter in Paul's letters dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. It's far more important than 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, which is so pushed because of the gifts and the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. This is something that is common to every Christian. This explains the Christian life. This explains the work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. As much God as the Father is God, as much God as Jesus Christ is God. And broadly speaking, in the work of salvation, it is the Father who plans our salvation in Christ. It is the Son then who comes and dying and rising from the dead who accomplishes our salvation. And then it is the Spirit who comes and works out and makes effective in our lives the salvation planned by the Father and secured by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. It is the Spirit who gives life. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus told his disciples that it was the Spirit who gives life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But how are we made free? Not something you did. It's something which the Spirit of God does. The power of God that works in those who come to believe upon Jesus Christ. As a result of being joined to Jesus Christ, united to him by faith, the Spirit then comes and takes up residence in our hearts and in our lives. The Spirit of God comes and takes the place of sin and death and rules over us and over our thoughts and desires and our hearts and our wills. It is the Spirit of God alone then who sets us free from the law of sin and death. Until the Spirit of God, as it were, was breathed upon you by Jesus Christ, you were powerless. You were in the grip of sin and death. You were like a man shut up in a prison. You were like a slave, and your master was a tyrant, sin, who ruled over you. Now, on the one hand, that is extremely humbling, because it crushes our pride when we are told we can't save ourselves. We were powerless. We are utterly dependent upon God. But at the same time, it's tremendously encouraging and comforting to know that God saves us. And when he saves us, he does a thorough work that will not fail. He's not only sent his Son, but he's also sent his Spirit into our hearts. And a Christian is someone then who learns that when we are saved from sin and death and from the law of sin and death, it is the freedom that God is pleased to give us through his Son by his Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But then, as we move on in our text, thirdly, and here for our encouragement, again for our establishing in the faith, and for us in the end to admire and wonder, thirdly, we see what God the Father has done to set us free. We go back now to the source, back to the origins. Where did it all begin? We see verse 3 speaks of God, and of God the Father in particular. Verse 3 says, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. God did by sending his own Son. The reference there to God is clearly God the Father sending his own Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are right in saying this is what God the Father has done to set us free. And here we see the Father's sovereignty, the Father's initiative, the Father in his love setting us free. Why? Because he saw us in all our weakness and in all our helplessness. Because the Bible here says in verse 3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law itself was not at fault. The fault lay with us in our sin. We were culpable. We were responsible. We are accountable. We are the ones who had weakness. But because of that, when the law came, we didn't respond in the right kind of way. We could not. It was impossible for us. You see, when the law speaks, what does the law say? The law of God. Now, we're talking about the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words of the Covenant. That law says what? You will have only one God. You will serve him. You won't make any carved images of God. You will not take God's name in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You will honor your parents. You won't steal, you won't murder, you won't commit adultery, you won't bear false witness, you won't covet. The law says those things, but when it says those things to us in our sin, do we immediately jump to that and act accordingly and obey it? No, the law is right, isn't it? Because it's God's law. But you don't have the power and the ability nor the desire to keep the law of God. So the law comes and says, do this, do that. And sin says, no way. No way. We are weak through the flesh. And so what happens? The law is there, the law comes, and it condemns us. We don't have a leg to stand on. And leaves us there, where it finds us, in our sin. And even worse, more and more condemned. Under its power and guilty because we do not keep it. There is no possibility then of ever being justified, ever being set free from the power of sin while we are unconverted, while we are without Christ, while we do not have the Spirit of God. The law cannot possibly do it. We are in a helpless, hopeless state and condition. And what did God the Father do, knowing that this would be the case? Just swish us away to one side and say, that's it, they're finished. God the Father saw all of that. And yet in his mercy and in his grace, he did not leave us like the law leaves us, condemned and in a worse state and condition. Look at the wonderful thing that God the Father did in order to set us free from the law of sin and death. We read in the second part of verse 3, God sending his own Son. God sent his own Son. God in his love made the very first move. He is the planner of salvation. And he sends his Son, his own Son. That's deliberately added. Because the one Son he has is the eternal Son, who was with him in the very beginning. The one who lived in heaven with his Father. The one who lived in a world where sin was not to be found. But the father did not hold him back. And then strange language is used. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now that does not mean, that is not hinting, that in some way our Lord Jesus Christ had sinned when he was here upon earth. He was the holy and harmless, spotless Son of God. But what Paul is saying here, he's going to the very edge of human language without saying that Christ became a sinner when he became a man. He's saying, no, he came and he took our human nature. He took the likeness, not identity, but the likeness of sinful human flesh. He came as a man and dwelt among us in the likeness of human sinful flesh. But then notice the whole purpose of him taking that sinful, taking that human nature and the likeness of sinful nature, flesh. It was on account of sin. It was for sin. That is, Christ came, sent by the Father, with the express purpose of dealing with sin. He took our nature, we are sinful. He took that nature, human nature, and then he dealt with sin. He dealt with sin and the wages of sin, which is death. He came to reverse what Adam did. Adam, by one act of disobedience, brought sin and death into the world. Christ, by his obedience, deals with sin and with death in order to set us free from the guilt and power of sin. And in his flesh, we read at the end of verse 3, he condemned sin in that flesh, in that human nature, while he was here upon earth. He condemned sin. He passed sentence on sin. He executed sentence on sin and on death, so that the power of sin was broken. Christ has executed judicial judgment on sin and set us free from it. We can say very realistically, sin has been damned by Christ. It has been condemned by Christ and deprived and stripped of its power. Sin and death set up its kingdom. Satan is the ruler of that kingdom. But here is a greater king. Here is a better king. Here is a stronger king. One who has come and has passed judgment on sin and on death and on Satan. When did he do that? If we turn back in our Bibles to John's Gospel in chapter 12 and verse 31. When Jesus predicts his death on the cross, you may remember in verse 27 he said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then there was a voice that came from heaven, which sounded like thunder. And then Jesus said in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now, as I die on the cross, now I condemn sin. Now I deal with sin and death, and the ruler of that kingdom of sin and death, Satan. Christ destroys then sin and death by his own death on the cross. That's why he came. That's the very reason he says, "I've come into this world." That ties in with what the Father has said. The Father has sent his own Son. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. to condemn sin in the flesh, as the God-man, Jesus Christ, condemns sin. He is in the flesh. Judgment is past. And then you go back to the beginning of verse 1. That's the reason why there is no condemnation then for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Christ has died. And Christ has passed judgment on sin and on death. Let me put it another way. I'm aware that some of these things may be new to some of you. Let me put it another way. Look for a moment in your mind's eye. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. What do you see? Who do you see dying there on the cross? You see God's own Son. You see him in the likeness of sinful flesh. And you see him dying there on account of sin. And you will, if you are a Christian, you will say, well, he is the Saviour who dies, who atones for my sin, who pays the penalty, who deals with my guilt, and therefore imparts forgiveness and justification. But don't stop there. As you look at the cross, as you look at Jesus Christ dying on that cross, see also the Saviour who executes judgment on Satan and the kingdom of sin and death. Jesus has overthrown the power of sin. The proof? He rose from the dead on the third day. Again, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But this is what God the Father has done in sending his own Son. See, the law couldn't do it, even though it was God's law. The law only condemns you. The law can never set you free. Human obedience is not something that we can render if we are not converted to Christ. We cannot begin to love and obey God. There is just no way that law can ever set us free. Law never died on the cross like Christ to execute judgment against sin and death. Law never died in your place to atone for your sin. Christ did. And it was God the Father who sent the Son, in that very nature dominated by sin, to pass judgment on sin. And to pass judgment on Satan and death. And what are the consequences for us? Well, there they are in verses 3, the end of verse 3 and verse 4. He, that is Jesus Christ, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh any longer. If I may add that, but according to the Spirit. The consequences, we come back now to the very first point that we made. We've been set free. We've been made free. Made free to live a life no longer under the dominion of sin. We walk according to the Spirit now. Not according to the flesh, that is fallen, sinful, human nature. A life ruled by, dominated by the law of sin and death. No, we are now dominated by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Does that mean that we perfectly keep the law of God? No. But it means that we begin to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Not that that is the basis on which we are justified, but it is the inseparable thing that follows from the fact that we are justified. We're set free from the guilt of our sin, and God, working through his Son and by his Spirit, then works so in us that we are no longer under the dominion of sin, that we begin to love and to obey God. The law becomes our delight, because it is the way in which we please God. Where did that desire come from? The Spirit of God worked in our hearts as a consequence of Christ's work of judgment, of sin and death on the cross. Now, at this point, you may be saying, stop. I want to take breath. Well, I'm not going to try and explain anything further to you this evening, but I do want to say to you, take a deep breath and try to begin to take this in. Try and understand the wonders of grace. Do you see? Let me try and apply it in two ways. First of all, do you see why you need God to save you? Why you need God to set you free from the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is frightening. It's threatening. It's a stark reality that stares us in the face if we are without Christ. Can you set yourself free from the law of sin and death? No, you can't. All that happens to you is that the law condemns you. And the more you hear the law of God, the more it condemns you, the more uncomfortable you will feel, and the more accountable you will be when you stand before Jesus Christ, the judge, on that great day. Well, can the law set you free? The law of God? No, you can't set yourself free, and the law of God cannot set you free. Well, who else can set you free? Can an angel from heaven set you free? No. Who's come? Which angel? I don't know of any angel who's come from heaven to set me free. I don't know of any angel who's died on the cross. Some people say, well, the saints' prayers can save me. No. Can a priest save me? No. None of them. No human being, no angelic being, no law, not me. Nothing can save me from the law of sin and death other than God. God alone, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working together. Until Christ has been sent by God the Father to this earth, and he has been sent, until he comes on the cross and condemns sin in the flesh, there is no freedom. But Christ has come, and there is freedom, and those who are joined to faith, by faith to Jesus Christ, they have the Spirit of God. They are the ones who walk no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. They have the Spirit of life, the Spirit of righteousness. And the righteous requirement of the law then begins to be fulfilled in us. Notice that freedom is not freedom from obedience to God. True freedom is obeying God's commandments. True freedom then is loving and obeying God. Do you see then why you need God to save you? Do you understand that? Has that gripped you? Do you say in your heart of hearts, Lord, I understand better now than I did before. There's just no way I could ever have saved myself. No way that I could have begun to love you. No way that I could begin to obey you. No way that I could make my own way into heaven. It's all your gift. It's all your grace. It's all your kindness. It's all your mercy. It's all your love. Father, in sending your Son. Father, Son, in sending your Spirit into my heart to set me free from the law of sin and death. And if that is the case, then will you not marvel at the way God saves? You see, not only do you need to be saved by God, but you see how God saves you. And you can be very particular then in your thanks and praise to God, particular in the way that you wonder and marvel at the way that God sets you free. It's not only a gift of God, it's not only a work of God, but each person of the Trinity is to be admired and wondered at, because each person of the Trinity has played a part in your salvation. People sometimes have difficulty with the doctrine of the Trinity. They say the Trinity, that term is not in the Bible. But my friends, you cannot be saved apart from the work of the Father, apart from the work of the Son, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And those three are one God. They are equal, the same in substance, in power. They have different roles to play, but they are all God. And each person of the Trinity has a place to play. It is the Father who sent the Son. His own Son. He did not withhold him, but he sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin. And it is the Son who died. It's not the Father who died. It's not the Spirit who died. It is Jesus Christ taking our nature who died. And then it is the Spirit of God, sent by the Father, sent by the Son, who comes and takes up dwelling in our hearts and destroys the power, the actual power of sin in us, bringing to effectiveness the work that Christ did on the cross. And that way you've been made free. It's the triune God who's made you free. Give to the Father what is due to him. Give to the Son what is due to him. Give to the Spirit what is due to him. You have been made free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. If you are a Christian, then I simply say to you, live as one who has been made free. Think often of what the Father has done, the Son has done, the Spirit has done. Use those things as constraints upon you. When you face temptation, when you face pressure, stress, anxieties, doubts, go back. Go back and preach to yourself. This is what God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has done. I have been made free from the law of sin and death because I am joined to Jesus Christ. And if you're not yet a Christian, the answer is very simple. Go to Christ. Go to Christ. And be saved from your sins. Trust in him and joined to him. And in him then you'll begin to understand the love of God the Father. Then you'll begin to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And know that power working in your heart and in your life. You may not be able to explain it in biblical terms, but you know you're not the person that you once were. God has worked powerfully, graciously in your life, and you can say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen.